So I'm going to call to order the Kootenai Fire District Prudential Committee meeting of June 24th, 2019. Amy Cates is recording. Could I have a roll call, please?
Ray Perrone, Treasurer.
Lisa Mycock Kelly, Prudential.
Fran Parks, Prudential.
Silvio Janau, Prudential.
Charlie Eager, Clerk.
Will you please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance? First up is the audit with Mr. Rod Lynch.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Lynch with Lynch Marini and Associates, and thank you for the time tonight to present the fiscal year 2018 audit of the district. Appreciate it. Unfortunately, George Gilmore, who managed the audit for us and conducted the audit and worked very closely with Ray during the course of the audit, was unable to be here tonight. He had a little medical procedure he had to go back in for. But it should all work out well, but just not tonight. He won't be here. But we appreciate the assistance we received from Ray and other personnel of the district throughout the audit. The overview I've handed out just is kind of an overview of the financial statements, and then we can address any questions that you have as the final reports have been issued to you. The main objectives of the audit process are to express opinion on the district's financial statements, that they're fairly presented in all material respects in conformity with generally accepted accounting principles. The audit is conducted in accordance with government auditing standards, and these standards require us to consider the internal control over financial reporting, as well as test compliance with laws and regulations. We don't express an opinion, but we do issue a report as a result of that. Management's responsibilities. Management's responsible for designing, implementing, maintaining internal controls over financial reporting and compliance with laws and regulations, establishing financial policies and procedures, ensuring that financial information is reliable and properly reported, and the preparation of financial statements in accordance with GAAP. And as allowed within our standards, is we do assist in preparing the financial statements, and then we present a draft along with our work and trial balances and journal entries for review in accepting responsibility for those financial statements. Our audit opinion, we did have an unmodified opinion on the financial statements, which is the opinion that you want. I mean that the reader can rely on those financial statements in all material respects. The government-wide financial statements are reported on a full accrual basis, so that's recording all assets, including accounts receivable and capital assets, and all liabilities, including long-term debt, compensated absences, the net other post-employment benefit liability, as well as the net pension liability. The district's net position at June 30th was $859,000. That was a decrease of $243,000 from the prior year. Unrestricted net position was a deficit of $4 million, due primarily to the recording of OPEB liability of $2.6 and the net pension liability of $3.2. So that's one set of financial statements. The second set of financial statements are the fund basis statements. And these are more closely related to how the district maintains the books throughout the year. The district maintains the books on a UMAS, the Uniform Massachusetts Accounting System, and again, it's very close to the modified accrual. The total fund balance of the general fund at June 30th was $1.2 million, and that was a decrease of $125,000, approximately $708,000 in the general fund balance at the right side, and that includes the stabilization fund balance of $120,000. And the third page of the handout is the budgetary schedule, and that does show in your budget, you had anticipated using $432,000 from balance, and we only had a decrease of $123,000. So that was some positive results.
I do have some questions. I don't have a copy of the report, and as you mentioned, you have the same deficiencies in internal controls that you have we had last year. Can you elaborate as those? Because I was new last year.
Yeah.
So this is my first year, and I would like to know more detail about that.
One of the most significant ones was just the segregation. Ray does pretty much everything in terms of
treasurer, accountant, all of that.
Right. Yeah. And there's not really much you can do about that. So we're aware of it, you're aware of it, but under our standards, you have to report that. So we'll put that. And then just as the district grows and gets bigger, and not just this district, but this is something that happens in all entities, that you should be formalizing the policies and procedures, performing formal risk assessments over your internal controls. And talk about that and say, okay, this is what we're doing. Can it be better? Can it be improved? Can it change anything? And that should all be documented. It's policies and procedures manual being worked on as a result of that. And then there's some issues with the cash reconciliations. There were some issues with past year related to some of the money coming, district money coming from the town. There was some money that was sent to Hyannis instead of coming to it, and vice versa. I think they all picked up in the reconciliation process, some of it did, and then just the reconciliation itself should be timely.
So when you talk about internal controls, I mean purchase controls, approval of invoices and things of that nature, when you're talking about policies, the financial policies that we should abide by, or are you talking about bigger picture, like issuance of bonds and how we deal with bonds and things of that nature?
It's the financial controls in terms of the purchasing, approval of invoices, as well as the collection of receipts and performing reconciliations to ensure that the financial information is accurate. The bonds, when you can issue those,
So, I mean, off the top of your head, what are a couple of the things that you've noticed and when it comes to financial policies that you suggest we should implement?
I think, as I said, just reviewing and doing the purchasing and approval of invoices and making sure there's, to the extent you can, again, it's a small entity, but documenting those controls. You know, you have controls in place, but it's a matter of documenting that. So should you have a change in personnel, you can come in and know how that process.
Correct.
Can you just address the water department as one of the problems?
The water department, again, that's the same thing as similar issue in terms of segregation duties. There's a lot of incompatible duties that are happening in the water department in terms of the billing is all being done by the same person, the money is being collected by the same person, and we didn't find anything wrong, any issues with that. But again, it's keeping
forgive me, I'm not sure if this is an appropriate question, but do you see anything in the other smaller districts that we could adopt? Obviously, this must be an issue with our other smaller districts, particularly in the town of Barnstable.
Right, right. It is. You're not getting the next expect, and I wish they had a magic wand to say, this is a good business. It's all I can get. Everything's a little different, even though the issues are the same. It's just a little different in terms of the personnel that they have.
Just one more thing. You mentioned there was an issue with cash reconciliation with the town. Can you elaborate on that? Was it on our end? Was it on their end? Did we catch it later, and that's one of the things you're alluding to? Because if we had more staff, maybe we could have caught it before or something like that?
Right. It was an issue where, from my understanding, from talking to Ray, the town had some issues with some of the personnel, but it was just they collect the money on your behalf, ultimately, and as well as their maintaining these accounts receivable. The taxpayers that can go. And things were not being done timely by them, therefore, it couldn't be done timely in the district, but there was money that they collected on behalf.
Thank you.
Shouldn't be a problem in the future either. Great, thanks a lot. Good to see you.
Thank you for your time. Take care.
Have a good drive back.
If I may, a little bit more on that.
Sure.
I think that's, you know, that's one of the things I was alluding to. I think it was either on the in the Civic Association's meeting or the annual meeting, that there's all these statutory requirements and policies that we have to abide by, even though we're a small district. It's kind of expected of us, and it's, you know, that's the challenge. That's what I see to me for the district being the upcoming challenge, how we're going to deal with that. As you heard him say very clearly, he can tell you what's going wrong, but it's up to us to figure out how we're going to address it. And that's kind of, like I said, what I've been alluding to, and I think in the next year, I don't mean to keep beating on that drum, but I think it's going to be a benefit to all the departments in the town, in the district, if we start addressing those things. And I, for one, I think that's going to be my goal for this year.
Okay. Looks like Mr. Boudreau isn't here yet. Mr. Travers? Hi. Why don't we do... Yeah, step up and we'll move you up the agenda. This is Mr. Travers is the head of the IT department at Bartlesville County. Sorry. No, I'd just like you to start in general, and then is there a red light on that?
Okay. It's green. Check 1, 2. That's better. No, I'm not going to bother adjusting. I'll just hunch a little bit. So it's good to meet you in person. If you didn't hear me say that before, we've been talking for, I think, a couple of years now, off
yep,
and on,
right,
for various things, and I just kind of realized on the way here that I had never been here before. That last time I was here, it was a kid's birthday party, so it's kind of a little surreal. Anyway, so we've been doing services kind of ad hoc for some time now, and I had to double back and see what we were doing, because I was pretty... personally, I wasn't directly involved in doing the work myself, but the staff we had designated had set up the website on the county's WordPress platform, hosted WordPress platform, not hosted by the county but by an outside vendor. And we had done some development work on the website, and we have control over the, you know, we manage the domain records, the domain registration for the website and everything, so that's all well in hand, and we've always done things ad hoc. And to be honest, the work of converting the audio of the meetings is pretty minimal. And that's, I think I had suggested 20 hours a year tops for that part alone. And one of the things I think probably the driving force between me, of me going around on tour with various people we've done services for has been because we've developed a new contract framework that we've been getting other towns into. So we have a few or two newer towns we've done services for under this new framework, and we're kind of grandfathering in previous customers, but any new opportunity there is to kind of get people into this framework we've been trying to do just to kind of formalize it so everybody's using the same template. And that's, I believe I shared that with you, and that's yeah, what was distributed. And as you can see, it's pretty modular. The first one is a general assessment. For existing customers, we generally skip that one because we usually know the ins and outs if we've been working with them for a while. That's kind of the gatekeeper, though, for any new clients we have. The second one is general IT support, and that's just basic block of hours for help, generic help, if you could call it that. The third one is the interesting one. That's scope of work for advanced projects and things of that nature. For and that's the one that's very customizable. So that's something if we wanted to allocate a certain amount of funding annually for a certain purpose, and you don't want that to be used for anything else inadvertently, we'd drop a little scope of work for it. Or if there was a project, a migration project of some sort that we, you know, could encapsulate into that, we would drawn up under that type of scope of work. And that is the long and short of it.
Okay. So I have a question. So you estimated that to do the audio work for the three committees is about $1,900? Do you have a question?
I did. Do we know what we've paid? I understand we haven't been under contract, if you will, in the past, but do we have an average of what we've been paying for support services?
About 700.
We haven't.
Okay. We haven't been.
We haven't been.
Okay.
Can I ask what the benefit would be to paying to have the audio done versus what we've been doing?
Well, apparently the water, they've been doing the water for the whole time. I wasn't aware of that.
Okay.
And at the moment, we've been having it done at no charge.
Okay.
But that's been recently. There's been some delay in doing that because the person that does that has been busy. But the other problem is that we don't have any budget for the web out above and beyond the 600. I've talked to Ray, and I came up with a suggestion that possibly we could split the cost of posting the audio among the three departments,
mm-hmm.
Fire, Water, and Prudential. Or the other possibility is just not post the audio, you know, for until we get to next year's budget, and it's a service to the constituents, but residents of the district, but it's not required, you know,
okay.
to not a requirement.
I just, you know, I was going to ask you what the process is right now, but I think you just elaborated on that. Basically, we get the audio from here. Somebody at the fire department uploads it or processes it?
One of the fire commissioners.
Yeah. Again, one of the things that we do.
Yeah.
I don't have any problem with this arrangement. I think it'd be cleaner. I think we'd be able to do things faster, post things faster. We have people who, this is what they do. They're experts in this job. For the $2,500 a year that we would pay to do the audio plus host the website,
mm-hmm.
I would agree with you that separating or splitting it between the three boards would be something small.
Yeah.
As you mentioned, we don't have the budget for it right now, but that's something maybe we could look into using reserve funds or something like that. Because
I don't know.
It's something that we, and we can talk about it as a board later,
yeah.
because I agree with you, it's not something we have to do, but anything that we can do to be more transparent and go above and beyond, I'd be for that.
Okay.
So maybe we can entertain a motion later to approve that or not.
The question I have is one of the things that we want to look at is online payments for both water department fees and fire department fees. Is that something, a discussion that ought to start with you, involve you?
That is something we certainly don't.
Okay. And again, on the hourly.
I don't think so.
Ray, why don't you give him yours?
Check. There you go. It's back. Battery's low. Why don't you just hold it? Or? Try not to walk around with it.
There you go.
Yeah. Go ahead. So as I was saying, we would just work in everything into a single scope of work, discovery included, because there's a lot of moving parts and that sort of thing as far as processing payments go. But yeah, that's something that we could help with. And if at any point with any projects that we end up helping with, if it's something we can't take all the way, we usually will connect the customer to a vendor and we'll either subcontract or we'll either kind of work out the arrangement for them, or in some cases we would just refer. I think the town of Truro recently, we were taxed for resources and we were migrating their email. We didn't have time, so we just connected them with a vendor we knew about and orchestrated the whole thing, and they paid them directly. So that's, we'll tap out if it's, you know, something we can't deal with. But.
Okay, if I could have some contact information.
Certainly.
From you. Is that, is a discussion we'll...
I wish I brought a card, but I can certainly write down a number or a friend.
I've got his email address, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, great. Okay, so, well, at this point, could you just... Is it time for us to sign just the new basic web hosting contract?
Yes, except I will get you the revised Exhibit C. I'll finalize that and put in the specifics of what we spoke about, and then that'll be ready for signature.
Okay, great.
And... have it almost done.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Not a
thanks for coming.
Oh, well, thanks for having me. It was
nice
to get out.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, you really got to.
Well, she's leaving. Trying to miss her complaint. Next is an open meeting law complaint filed by Mrs. Gardner. The complaint reads, the open meeting law defines deliberation as an oral or written communication through any medium, including electronic mail, between or among a quorum of public body or any public business within its jurisdiction. I believe the committee violated the open meeting law when Ms. Parks attended an unpublished meeting of the Space Needs Committee at the fire station with Chief Rude and Richard Fenuzio, architect, on April 10th, 2019. During the meeting, they informed Mr. Finucchio that the committee was not pursuing the previously designed expansion renovation of the fire station. I am unaware of any meeting that was held by the committee to discuss or vote not to proceed with the original plans presented previously voted by the committee. During the April 10th, 2019 meeting, an agreement to extend additional services from April 10th to June 1st, 2019 was discussed. On April 15th, Mr. Finucchio signed a contract outlining the extending agreement and providing the committee with a PowerPoint presentation, which was presented to the residents of the Kituit Fire District on Tuesday, April 16th, 2019, at a public meeting. I'm unaware of any public meeting the committee held to discuss extending the agreement with Mr. Finucchio or to decide to accept new plans presented at the April 16th meeting. I'm unaware of what happened at the April 10th meeting until I finally received the attached document. I request the document April 18th following a public meeting and received it June 3rd. The Kituit Fire District Prudential Committee and the Space Needs Committee clearly violated open meeting law regarding the project proposed at the April 16th public meeting. So what action do you want the public body to take in response to your complaint? I want Chairman Francis Parks to step down as chair and not to take the position during your next term. I want the committee to reorganize the Space Needs Committee and appoint only one member of the Prudential Committee to serve on that committee, and I'm asking that it's not Ms. Parks. I want the committee to include at least two members of the public. I want Ms. Parks and her committee to acknowledge they violated the open meeting law and publicly apologize for wasting $25,000. So, hi. So I referred this to Mr. Boudreau, and Mr. Boudreau wrote this response. I'm writing in response to a complaint filed by Cynthia Gardner dated June 5th, 2016 that alleges the members of the Prudential Committee of the Cotuit Fire District violated the open meeting law by deliberating outside of a properly noticed meeting. The complaint alleges that one of the Prudential Committee members, Frances Parks, attended an unpublished meeting of the Space Needs Committee on April 10th. Ms. Gardner further alleges that the contact with the architect was extended at that meeting without discussion or vote. The complaint names the specific persons who Mrs. Gardner alleges violated the public meeting law as Frances Parks, Lisa Mycott Kelly, and Silvio Janot.
Is that right?
Janot,
sorry.
That's okay.
The three members of the Prudential Committee of the Cotuit Fire District. On April 10th, only Frances Parks of the Prudential Committee was in attendance at the Cotuit Fire Station when the fire chief Rude and Richard P. Finucchio, an architect. There was no quorum of the Prudential Committee. The purpose of the gathering was to discuss an estimate that had been received relative to the potential work on expanding the fire station. Fire Chief Rude and Mr. Finucchio were not Prudential Committee members, nor are they members of the Space Needs Committee. Therefore, there was no meeting. Following the meeting, Mr. Finucchio's architectural firm sent a memorandum of a meeting which included a proposal to extend their contract. Neither Ms. Parks nor any other member of the Prudential Committee signed the contract for the additional work. Nevertheless, the work was done under the proposal in the form of an alternate building plan. The Prudential Committee presented the cost of the proposal as part of an article under the warrant to the annual meeting. The article passed. In conclusion, the April 10th, 2019 was not a meeting of the Prudential Committee or the Space Needs Committee. There was no quorum or no deliberation, and kindly let me know if you need anything further in this regard. Mark H. Boudreau. Mrs. Gardner, did you receive a copy of this? Please go to the microphone.
I have not yet received a copy of that to date.
Okay. All right. And do you have any questions that you want to?
I have a couple of questions. My first, can I address them to Attorney Boudreau since he wrote the letter? Okay, I only could hear what you said, so I have a first question. You said that the contract was signed but never signed by the Prudential Committee, so it wasn't in effect. Is that correct?
Here.
It was not signed by any member of the Prudential Committee.
Okay, but the architect didn't dream up what they wanted by on his own, so he was asked to do it, and the work product was accepted by the district. So how does that not mean there was no contract? You can't accept work product if you didn't have a contract in the first place.
There was a hole in how the procedure was done.
Right, there was an error, correct?
Certainly not a complete meeting of the minds, and the Prudential Committee on their own did exactly what they were supposed to do. They brought it out in the public and asked the voters what they wanted to do, and the voters went ahead and ratified the contract and voted the money to have it paid. This is the type of response you want from your public officials, not to hide, but to openly
okay,
say this
so
is
Okay, so in
what
that
happened.
Letter it states, no, because according to that letter it states that it didn't occur, but something did
what
occur.
What didn't occur?
There was a discussion. No, okay, if there wasn't a meeting, there was a discussion. Work product was asked for. Work product was accepted and presented at a public body. Correct?
I'm not exactly sure what you're saying.
Okay. I wasn't at the meeting, but this is right. What I can... I went to a public meeting. At that public meeting, Ms. Parks and Fire Chief Rude presented a plan.
No, Chief Rude didn't present a plan.
Well, he was up. Okay, so.
He didn't do it.
Okay, he didn't do it. It was just Ms. Parks. Okay, it was. So Ms. Parks presented a plan to the public. The plan that the Prudential Committee approved previously wasn't presented to the public. So when did all that conversation happen amongst the committee?
The Prudential Committee never, the Space Needs Committee never approved the previous plan.
But the Prudential Committee did at a
no,
previous
we
meeting.
We didn't approve the plan.
You approved a presentation that you were going to bring before the public. It's in your minutes.
Fine.
this type of a gathering is necessary in order for any work to be done. The fact that there was only one member of this committee here makes it, by definition, not a meeting.
My concern is, we just had the auditor here, that we need to be cautious and we need to have procedures in place before money is spent by the district. This is a clear example of what he said earlier.
No, I wasn't talking to you.
You could keep it.
Do you have any comments?
There is just one minor typo in the letter, and the first line, Ms. Gardner's complaint is dated June 5th, 2019, not 2016, but that's obviously cleared up later in the letter as to which open meeting law violation is being referred to.
Okay, well, we will mail this off to the Attorney General's office, and Mrs. Gardner can decide if she wants to file her complaint or not. So let's move on. Thank you, Mark. You're dismissed. If you move fast, you can get to that golf game. So, all right, the clerk. I just want to say that these two people up here decide who's the chair of this committee, not members of the public. And no, you're not.
I have a right to ask. You don't have to.
No. If you want to talk, you have to go up there. And no, I'm not talking to you. I'm making a statement. And, you know, I'm not going to recuse myself from the Space Needs Committee. This is a committee to do an assessment of the needs of the district, not a building committee. Those are two very different things. And what was presented first as an almost $4 million project was clearly just inappropriate and was just taken off the table. And just so you know, the chairman of the fire committee was at that meeting with the architect also. And what we presented was an off-the-shelf representation of what we could have. It's not a plan of any substance that certainly, you know, that the next step is to have a plan of some substance. That was just an off-the-shelf representation of what is available for a freestanding district. No, we're done. Thank you. So the next item is to appoint the clerk. Mr. Clerk, Mr. Eager, would you like to continue for another year?
Yes, I would be glad to.
So could I have a motion to appoint Mr. Eager as clerk of the Cotuit Fire District?
I move that we appoint Mr. Charles Eager, clerk, as Cotuit Fire District for the
Second.
Fiscal 2020.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Congratulations. Okay. The next is to appoint a chairman.
I make a motion to appoint Lisa Mycock Kelly as chairperson of the Prudential Committee.
Okay. I'm not going to recuse myself from serving as chairperson, but I would like to note that Ms. Parks does far more work with respect to having time to gather information with respect to happenings in the village and in the town that impact our district. And I unfortunately don't have the luxury of that same amount of time given my other work, as I know neither do you. However, if you would like me to serve as chairperson with respect to running meetings and so forth, I guess I'm happy to do so.
I'll second that motion.
Do a vote, if you don't mind. The main reason I put you forth as chairperson is because has nothing to do with, you know, what Frank's done in the year that I've been here. I think I've learned so much more about this district thanks to Fran. So it's all in regards to maybe just seeing if a change of leadership could bring any, you know, anything different to the table, and to just, you know, maybe change things up, and also help Fran in the fact that, you know, she takes on so much. And I wouldn't mind. I understand, just like you said, I have a 9-to-5 job, if we want to call it that. But I'd be willing to assist in any way, shape, or form that I can. And I think it's our duty to do that, even though, you know, we have the jobs we have, because that's what we signed up for. So, and kudos to Fran for putting all the time that she put in. But I think any help we can do in that regards, that would be great. And I think it would be inappropriate to nominate myself, so hence the reason I nominated you.
I could put it right back at you, but I can appreciate your newness to the district, my newness to serving as a member of the governing body of the district. You know, you probably actually have more experience with respect to governing local politics than myself, but that being said, my understanding as chairperson is I'm really more involved in running of the meetings and things of that nature. I just can't do the recording.
No, well, yeah. You also need to meet on a regular basis with the treasurer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all those in favor of Lisa?
Aye.
Aye. So
aye.
Moved. Okay. So I'm going to go on with Freedom Hall. So that's okay.
Well, so who's...
What about the treasurer?
Oh, I'm sorry.
But, all right, so we made a motion to vote for Lisa. We denied it, so have we made a motion for anybody else now? Or
no, that's it.
That's it?
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh. A couple of things. First of all, I'd like to review the status of the financials as of the end of May. I've given you a 3-page handout to do that. First of all, I'll talk about the revenue situation as of the end of May, the 11 months ending. Overall, tax revenue is slightly behind budget, and I've noted slightly behind last year. However, when we look at individual items, personal property tax is ahead of budget, but real estate is lagging behind by 2%. There's been a change in the collector. The collector was replaced in the middle of May. A lot of the work was behind at the collector's office, and we may see before the end of the year a catch-up on that. So I'm hoping that I met with the collector. She's an experienced young woman, has worked in the department previously, and while she realizes there's a lot of work to be done, for example, none of the district ledgers have been posted in the past year. So she has a lot of catch-up to do. She has helped to do it, and I offered my help to expedite that. But I would say that hopefully we'll get the real estate in line with the budget. Just go ahead.
I have a question you may not know. So Maureen used to be the town collector.
Correct.
She's no longer there.
She retired.
That's correct.
She retired. I heard that was a matter of fact, I know that was an elected position, so... Somebody replaced her in the interim, or
they changed it from an elected position to an
appointed position. Oh, good.
Yeah. And it's now the treasurer will handle both treasury and collection.
That's Deborah Blanchett.
Perfect. All right.
Who is it?
Deborah Blanchett is the treasurer, and Gisling Morris is the collector.
Okay.
Property and interest is up, both over budget and slightly behind last year. So overall, we ended up within 2% of what the budget is. And as I said, I am hopeful that we will reach full budget by the end of June. In the water rates area, the revenue was down, not surprisingly. The Wet spring means usage is down substantially. The new rates have not taken effect and will not impact this year. They will only partially impact next year. However, one piece of good news is that we haven't been able to erect the new antenna, so we're still deriving revenue from rental revenue rather than just the land lease. We anticipate, as we put in the budget, that next year that revenue will be down to $42,000, slightly higher than that for the land lease. Other good news is the solar credits have picked up substantially from 10,000 budgeted to 21,000 and is well over what we had last year. Ambulance revenue is again ahead of last year and again ahead of budget. Talking with the chief there, they're experiencing the same thing in my other district, and there's really no explanation other than volume is up. Surprisingly, in the off season, not in the season that you would anticipate. So that's good news. We're picking up approximately $50,000 of added revenue on that line alone, which will add to free cash. Rentals are well over budget and ahead of last year. And in the interest in miscellaneous, we received a reimbursement from our health insurance for previous retiree distribution assessment that was deemed to be overstated. And so we received a $12,000 refund. In addition to that line, we had $22,000 of interest as our cash position has remained strong. Turning to expenditures, we have some negative news in the Prudential area. The Prudential salaries are over budget for two reasons. Both the treasurer and the assistant treasurer are over budget. As you recall, we increased the hours for the assistant treasurer, and with respect to the treasurer, the workload and demands on the office just this year mandated that that budget be exceeded. We'll be talking about transferring to cover that deficit. In the expenditure line, we are currently under budget, but I anticipate with added legal and expense, audit expense, that we will end up $2,000 over budget that we'll have to resolve with a reserve transfer. In debt service, there is a $6,700 shortfall, which is the interest on the debt that we rolled in December that got missed in the budget, so we have to transfer for that. Turning to the fire department, the news is much better. The salary line is well under budget and is anticipated to remain under budget. Expenses are also under budget by a substantial portion, and even though we anticipate some year-end encumbrances, we anticipate ending that year under budget. In the public facilities, we're right on budget, and I'm going to recommend a very small transfer just in case the timing issue on when the maintenance individual reports his time, we could end up $50 or less over. So I'm going to recommend that we make a small transfer to cover that potential over budget possibility. In the expense line, we're favorable by a substantial amount. Street lights well below, reflecting the LED improvement that was done several years ago. Encumbrances were right on budget. Library was expended as directed. The reserve fund has not been touched yet. I'll have a motion that I recommend to you in a moment. And the articles, the cost of service will finish off this year. The rest of them will remain about unspent as indicated. The rehabilitation of the one engine is being evaluated now by the fire department to see if it is economically feasible to make those repairs and extend the life of that unit. Looking at the other projects, there's really not much change from last month. The fire department pickup will close out under budget. As recall, one of the things that we do now is formally close out any project that involves debt. We're not going to close it out this year. We'll close it out next year when we can apply that to reducing the debt on that truck. The air packs were not spent this year. We're going to combine that with the new appropriation that was approved at the annual district meeting to implement all, I believe it's now 12 air packs that will be purchased. Excuse me, the parking lot is completed. We have combined funds, so we're going to be closing that project out as well.
I thought they still had the ramp to...
You're right, I'm sorry.
The ramp
Thank
to
you.
Do, yeah.
We do. We have the ramp that we're going to complete probably into next year before we close that out. The water pickup is completed and it will be closed out again to pay debt next year. The USDA grant is partially spent. That's a carryover. We provide $15,000 per contract each year, and right now we're trying to identify all the expenses we can to apply to that grant and take them out of the operating expense. The security system is unfinished. I didn't get an estimate from the water department on where they are, but just judging by the numbers, that there's quite a ways to go on that project. And the chemical upgrades is just about substantially finished. I haven't got the official word from the superintendent yet, but I believe that is substantially finished, as is the space review, with the demo to be closed out as approved at the annual district meeting to fund the remaining expenditures on that space review. The Lowell's plan and the Main Street mains were two that the auditors brought to our attention that require annual district meeting approval, and we will do that next year again to pay down debt. And the same with the new tank and related. So we will have almost $200,000 that we can close out next year to pay down debt. Are there any questions?
I do have a comment in the meantime.
Okay.
I know there's been some concerns about use of the reserve fund for the transfer for the salaries. I know that we've discussed this with Ray, and we feel confident in the fact that the reserve fund can be used in that way. Furthermore, just in the auspice of transparency that we've been discussing, I mentioned too in one of the meetings that we were before that this is something that in practicality I knew could be done, but just to quote specific state documents that say that we can do that, one of them is a letter from the Division of Local Services of Mass DOR talking about city, town, and district reserves, and it says, and I quote, transfers out of a reserve require a majority vote of the district prudential committee. So we are within our rights to do that. Another document, also from DOR, talks about, I think it's called, it's a guide to financial management for town officials. It's another document that gets handed around for board members, bureaucrats who work for the towns and cities. And in that document, another mention of that in page 29, role of the Finance Committee, which for all intents and purposes in our district, we are that. It says, and I quote, it has statutory authority to make transfers from the town's reserve fund, a contingency fund usually created as part of the annual budget appropriations, to departmental budgets for extraordinary and or unforeseen circumstances. And then it keeps going and says, under what circumstances should the Finance Committee use the reserve fund? The reserve fund exists to fund extraordinary and unforeseen expenses. It is disbursed through transfers approved by the Finance Committee. How the fund is used depends upon a community's interpretation of the terms extraordinary and or unforeseen. Some towns assume a very conservative interpretation and use the funds only for dire emergencies, e.g. natural disasters. Other communities take a more liberal view and are willing to use the fund for less critical purposes that were simply not foreseen when the budget was approved. That is this specific situation. We had a situation where we had asked more time of our treasurer and our assistant treasurer to put together some of the documents, some of the work that we need done at the district. And unfortunately, at the time of the budget, we weren't expecting, you know, that's not something we thought about. So this is completely legal and completely within the guidelines of the Massachusetts DOR. You can say no, but I'm reading verbatim from an article. And this is not the time for public comment. We can have it later. But I'm explaining to you specifically from where it's from. You elected us to determine what the views of the community are to the use of the reserve fund. We're determining that this is a good use of the community, our funds for such a purpose. Number one. Number two, and more importantly, at the end of the year, when the reserve funds balance are not used, they go to free cash. Yes. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So at the end of the day, that's another source of funding that then can be appropriated for that. At the only time that you can't use a reserve fund is when town meeting, in our case, district meeting, specifically says in a vote that we can use funds for a certain appropriation. At no point in time has our annual meeting said that we can't use these funds for that. So this is the most prudent and fiduciary, and using our fiduciary rules to use of the fund, the reserve fund, to deal with an unexpected expense. I think that I can't make this any clearer than that, but if the chairperson decides to open it for public questions, we can ask more questions. You can ask questions and I can answer later. But we've done our due diligence. The treasurer's done their due diligence. And I think we're in line with everything that we should be doing.
I've reached out to Attorney Boudreau and asked him specifically whether the added salary expense was something that would fall under this, and he was certainly, he assured me that that was the definition of an unforeseen, or an example of an unforeseen event. So I also did check with District Council.
If I may, too, I want to elaborate on that, I forgot. In my personal job outside of here, I've something that I've done for over 10 years. I've seen department heads, town managers doing other towns for, you know, a long time now, is sometimes your salaries, basically most budget, departmental budgets are twofold. They have a salaries budget and expenses budget, which we have here. It's very similar. By law, you can't make transfers between those until the end of the year. So that's something that I've also asked Ray, could we look into that? We don't have the flexibility to do that within the amounts that we have left. So the only viable recourse that we have is to use the reserve fund that we're legally allowed to use to make that transfer. Like I said, I've seen it all the time in my personal, in my jobs, where the expenses are usually less than the salaries. There's, you know, as you know, there's salaries, there's benefits, there's retirement, there's all these other things. And sometimes the salaries budget, actually a lot of the times, the salaries budget goes over what was budgeted. And there was a year-end transfer from the expenses to the salaries to cover that. We're doing the exact same thing, but using the reserve fund instead. This is normal practice in the years that I've worked municipalities. So I don't see anything wrong with this concern, but like I said, I wanted to look into it and just give you a more detailed answer.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
I've prepared a motion, I can read it. as authorized by Chapter 40, Section 5C of the Mass General Law, I recommend that the following transfers from the reserve account be made to the Finance Department salaries for $14,000, the remaining expenses of the Prudential Committee, $2,200, the principal and interest account, $6,700, and the district building and maintenance salaries, $100, for a total of $23,000.
So moved. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Great. Thank you. All right. So, move on to Freedom Hall. There are some repairs that we need to look at. The first is, for reasons I don't understand, that when they...
That's a good way to start the conversation.
Yeah, well, for some reason, they only put handicap ADA-compliant handicap door handles on those two doors back there. They aren't on either of these doors. They aren't on the interior doors going up to the bathrooms, and they aren't on the bathroom doors. So we can purchase the hardware for less than $200. Mm-hmm. And then we have it in this year's budget to be able to do it. We have $500 remaining. And then we can have it installed next year in next year's budget. So that's the first thing. The next thing is the piano. As you know, the Kituat Center for the Arts is using the hall for rehearsals. And so first they wanted to give us a piano, but we'd still have this piano, so we said no. So now they're willing to give us a piano, remove this piano, and keep the other one in tune. So
win-win.
Win-win. So if someone would like to make an motion to accept the piano from the Kituat Center for the Arts.
I move that we accept the offer from the Kituat Center for the Arts to provide a new piano and remove the existing non-working piano.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The next problem is the gutters on the parking lot side of the building at the back. I was here during a rainstorm, and it supposedly has a dry well under there, but I'm not 100% sure, but it was just gushing over the gutters, and the one in front doesn't have a dry well. So
was it coming like over the gutters, or it was not going into the ground?
It was coming over the gutters.
Okay.
It wasn't even going down. And I haven't had a chance to get anybody to take a look at that. But also the front end of the gutter also really should have a dry well there also, because that just spills out, and in the winter it makes an ice patch right nice. By the front of the building. So, God drowns down. So is that all right if I go ahead and get prices for doing that?
Absolutely. I would be doing the same thing.
Okay. And next are the LaPointes, who I believe are here. You know, and they sent a request that they want to do some plantings in front of their fence, which is actually our property.
Mm-hmm.
And they've requested this in the past to do some plantings there. And we said, because it's on our property, we declined to have them do that. So they're back. I don't know, Mr. LaPointe, do you want to come up and address your request?
Thank you. I'm Bill LaPointe. I live at 980 Main Street, right behind the parking lot. And last year, when we finished our house, we made an offer to replace the trees that had been there before on your property that had died over the years. And at the time, as Fran just mentioned, you did not want us to put anything like that on the property. As things have gone on to this year, we were getting ready to plant. The bed actually has about 6 inches that is on our property, and then the remaining mm-hmm. 2 feet or so is on your property. So we were preparing to do something really tight to the fence, some daylilies or tulips or something that would, you know, grow perennially and give a little bit of green on that spot. But the thought occurred to us to ask you, as opposed to what we proposed last year, to plant something very substantial, if there's something that you would like and you know, we'd be open to as well, that would be lower, be done in the middle of the bed, that's something we'd be happy to do and maintain like we offered to do last year for something more substantial. And I did bring a picture.
Oh, you're a good man. I was ready to jump outside and take a look at
it. So, as you can see from that picture, it looks very nice behind your lawn, and it looks pretty barren between the parking lot and fence.
This belongs to us. And actually, Chris and I weeded that, and then we spread the mulch.
Thank you.
Some more of your job.
Thank you.
No.
So basically, the fence is in your property, the rest of the bed.
About 6 inches of the bed is on our property, and then the rest is on yours. So if we were to do something in the middle of the bed, it would be on your property. But we would propose to do something very low maintenance, but make it look a little bit better.
This is interesting, because my first reaction is I would love for you to do that. I think it would spruce up the parking lot. And then my second thought is the maintenance and watering and things like that. And we wouldn't want your investment to, just die.
We do have a bed on the other side of the fence as well. We could run a drip line off of that would stay on our side of the property line that would keep the bed moist. Fine.
And I guess the only way to we would be able to do this would be just like we did with the piano. It would have to be a gift that we accept on behalf of the district. For plantings in our property. I mean, I've seen volunteers do that in traffic islands all the time. So,
right. We also put up the fence posts in the parking lot as a thank you as well for your hospitality and letting us use the parking lot for access.
Ms. Parks, do you have any recommendations as to what would be appropriate out there, given that my thumb is black and yours
you
is
green?
You
do most of the work. So, I mean. What do you think?
Well, I think the problem with it is part of it is going to be the snow plowing in the wintertime. And, you contacted me because the snow was up against your fence last year. And, they're still going to have to plow over that, and that might just plow up all the plants that are there.
Yeah. So I think if they're perennials, they will, in the winter, be dormant. And they're not going to plow up to, that close to the fence.
I think as long as I don't have to take care of it,
we're happy to take care of it.
But
I mean, what type of I said, daylilies? What kind of plants would you have?
Well, we'd want to have it be perennials, low maintenance, and if we did daylilies with tulips, it'd be something that would bloom at different parts of the year, so it would. You kind of, look good over different parts of the season.
This is government at its finest. I would love to say yes, but I would need more information about what you're trying to plant over there. So if you, and I'm sorry I'm making you come back, but if you don't mind coming back to another meeting, we would love to get something more concrete, but we're halfway to a yes. I think it's a great idea. I appreciate you volunteering to do that, and I would love to say yes. We're just going to need a better idea of what you're trying to plant so that we can say, yes, maybe it'll match the landscaping. I know it's going to be up against your fence, so you're not going to plant something that's also not interesting to you, but if we can get a little bit more detail, that would be great. Okay. Or if you can just say right now it's daylilies or whatever, maybe we can talk about it a little bit more.
Can I ask, I think we want the daylilies and tulips and bulbs. You don't have to come up. I guess one of the thoughts I have is that we could commit to,
So our landscaper had his idea was that to pick plants low growing, compact that, and you have some in the back, those lilies in the back were very compact. His idea was to plant things that would bloom all throughout the season. So you'd have some sedum in the fall, you'd see some color in the fall, and then the spring you'd have, so to just try to just have it all throughout the season and also the fall, have some color there. And because they're perennials, they should, and because we have the system to water them, they should be able to survive. If they didn't, he would replace anything that didn't survive. So.
But it's daylilies and tulips.
Well,
and different
blooming
perennials.
Yeah.
So I'm sort of a weekend gardener myself. So I completely love what you're saying right now about different plants that bloom at different times, so you can have an interesting area throughout the year. But there's prudential committee side of me is saying, well, you know, he would be committed to maintaining them. You would put the drip line in irrigation. And again, all of that sounds very nice. But I guess if we can get more of a commitment from him, or I don't know what the committee would feel like. I mean, not that I disagree with you, not that I don't believe you. I know where you live.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of...
I think we need to know exactly.
Exactly. I mean, we sometimes, I don't want to say no and or say yes, and then all of a sudden all three of us are here, or Fran, sorry. It's here on weekends maintaining the plants and things
right.
of that nature.
We would be asking anyone to maintain them. We would maintain them and put mulch down and do any of that, and would try to keep it, if possible, the continuity of what's already behind there.
Okay.
So that was, just thought it would look nice to have some green and some color.
I agree. All right, well...
No, I think.
Yeah. I think we still kind of need a letter from your landscaper saying
that they commit.
And then when do you meet next? Is something you need to do another meeting, or would you be able to approve
no.
it?
Unfortunately, no. We have to approve it in an open meeting.
It'll be the fourth Monday in July.
Okay. The other thought I have, just we can plant. We could do something on our property line. Have you take a look at, and if you'd like to see a little bit more of this planted, we can add to it. That might be another way to kind of visually show you what we have in mind on the part that we can control.
Yep, absolutely.
Excellent.
Is that an easier way than sitting in a letter and?
Up to you.
No, it's up to us.
Again, it's just this is fascinating. Again, because this is so simple. It should be a yes or no type of thing.
It's going to look better than what's up there. And if you ever don't like it, you can always rip it out, and you're no worse off.
And that's what I was going to say. As long as you know, I have no problem with you doing that. And if we can't get a commitment from your landscaper, or for whatever reason, something happens and you move away, and then that commitment goes away. Which again, these are the things we have to think about.
All it is
if you sell the property.
We will pull it out.
The drip line's on our property. You could rip it out if you don't like it.
Correct, because it will be on our property.
Plant on your side. But what I'm saying is, we can start out on our property, show you what it looks like, and then expand a little bit more so you could fill out the bed a little bit more and make it look better.
I mean, you're obviously free to do on your property whatever you'd like.
Right.
And there's nothing there now that's... You can't make it any worse. It's just hard, compact dirt.
Right.
You just leave it up to me. I probably could make it worse.
As could I. I don't know. How do we feel about just seeing what they do?
Exactly. Can I make a motion?
Sure.
I'll make a motion to accept our neighbor's gift of some plants in that area and drip irrigation, with the understanding that if that's going to be in our property, and if for some bizarre reason it doesn't work out for the district, we can pull it out without retribution.
I'll second that.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much for volunteering to
and
do that. I really appreciate it.
If it ever gets to that point, please talk to me if you're ripping back a little bit and don't go too far on
our
property.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
So I added something not on the agenda, which is the space needs committee. We need to have another meeting. So, so we need to pick a date. So it should be an evening meeting. They should come to a prudential committee meeting. So they wanted us to give them a couple of dates. So Mondays are probably still going to be best because of all the other commitments that are going on here.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the 8th, the 15th of July. and then the next is a regular meeting.
So. I'm available on the 8th or the 15th.
That's true. I should be available.
So.
And provided it's an evening meeting.
Yeah.
The 8th is a Monday.
They're both Mondays.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. All right. So, yeah. So did we both review the minutes?
Yes.
Yes.
So those are the...
I obviously was absent for one of the two meetings, so, but the other one, they're okay.
Same time.
So these are the minutes of May 13th and June 5th. I'll accept a motion to accept those minutes.
I move that we accept the minutes of May 13th, 2019 and June 5th, 2019.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I had just wanted to, and only I've been out of town, obviously, and I don't even know if this is appropriate, to be honest with you, but just something else that was unanticipated. I know that there's been continued confusion regarding the new tax withholdings and for the paid family and medical leave. And so I did have a chance, and I was astonished that I had somebody at the Department of Revenue pick up. They have a separate benefits, family and medical leave division now, and she was lovely. And I just confirmed with her that employees of exempt municipalities are also exempt. So we do not have to provide any notice to our employees, nor do we have to enact any, or nor do we need to initiate any withholding.
So this is just, so I don't know if you know this, but this law says that it's a local option.
Mm-hmm.
This law is a local option.
We would have
option.
Had to adopt it.
So and so we don't have to adopt it.
We just keep revisiting it because obviously they've extended it. There's so much confusion, but I actually spoke to a human being, the DOR.
Okay. So is there any public comment?
Hi, Carol Zace, 86 Putnam Avenue. Couple questions. One, has there been any, or probably not because you guys haven't met, any consideration to adding community members to your space needs assessment as a way of broadening the communication? So I ask that you discuss that. And has there ever been, and this I just don't know about Kituit, the village, you talk about the amount of work that you need to do. At one point in the community I used to live with, they went from 3 to 5. And I don't know if that's something that's thought of in these districts or whatever, so I'm just throwing questions out there. And then there was the presenter on the website talked about the audio, and I believe it takes the fire commissioner who does it 10 minutes to convert, so I don't know what his 20 hours is, so I just ask that you maybe get more information from the person who's currently doing it in your district, who may or may not be in this room at this time willing to speak. So that's all.
Thank you.
Yep.
Let me just Adam Zace, 86 Putnam Avenue. Let me just quickly walk you through the process that getting an audio file onto the web. As soon as I get alerted that there's a file in Dropbox from Fran or Rick, those are the people that would let me know. I download it. I open up an application called Audacity. I essentially re-encode the audio file so that it will actually fit inside. Our current website has a limitation of 29 megs of an upload. So sometimes, and for the Prudential Committee meetings, this is more usual than the Fire Committee, is that they're just longer, and so they're bigger. So I have to drop down the audio frequency Now, I can train someone on doing this, but I've done it so many times, it takes me about 10 minutes to do this. Then you upload it into WordPress, you put the URL in place in the meetings thing, and that's what happens. I'll admit that I have been traveling, I work, and so sometimes there's a lag just because I'm out of town. But the process is really simple, and I wasn't here, I didn't hear what Barnstable IT perhaps might have told you about the cost. But anything that's more than free is, anyway. Now, I'm happy to train Chris on this. It would require having her have another piece of software, but it's open source software, so it doesn't cost anything. So I'm absolutely happy to train her on this.
Okay.
I don't think that the process is super convoluted. The challenge is just that bit about where do you drop the megahertz down, the frequency down to get to the right file size, and sometimes that's trial and error. I kind of know it, but I'll bet I could teach her. And okay. So now you know that it takes. So it really only takes about 10 minutes, but it takes a lifetime to learn it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Just speaking Greek to me. Yep.
Cynthia Gardner, 94 School Street. One thing I'd like the committee to look at, too, is we have two full-time administrative assistants. We have Chris at the fire department. We have Jen at the water department. I know Jen is very computer literate, so I don't think Mr. Zayas would have a hard time training her, too. And that way we would have a backup. So if one's out, the other person could pick it up. And I think that's what we need to start doing, is using the people that we pay full-time to do some of this work product, because I do know it's something they could fit into their schedule. The next thing I want to bring up is transparency. That's all I want. I want to come to meetings. If I don't come to a meeting, I listen to a meeting. I just want to know what's going on. The reason I was so against you using free cash for only one little part of that, what you voted tonight, was all other departments are required to talk about it at Civic Association meetings. Last year when they were giving the raises to the Water Department employees and the administrative assistant, it was talked about not only at the Civic Association meetings, but our annual meeting. If you felt that your employees in the Treasury Department needed raises, you should have done the same thing. You shouldn't hold other committee members to one standard and yourselves to another. So I feel that giving a raise to somebody is not you realized what you were doing when you did it. It wasn't unexpected. Time, because they have to do more work product, I totally agree with. But raises, I really do feel like that's really not according to the intent of the DOR regulations, because nowhere in it does it say pay raises. It says time, but not raises. So that's my concern.
Any response? Public comment?
Well, I think that at the time that the budget was set, she was a brand new employee. We did not know what kind of benefits she would bring to the district, and over the period of time, we saw what she could bring to it, and that was unforeseen at the time that we set the budget.
No.
I do have another comment. So, thank you very much, both Mr. and Mrs. Zayas, for letting us know how the process works. I think from my point of view, saved us a whole bunch of money from going with the Barnstable IT. If it's something that takes little effort like that, I even would be willing to help you with that. Sounds like it's something pretty simple. But the point that Mrs. Gardner made is what I've been trying to say. This is staff work. We have to start, and you heard it from the auditors, we have to start making that line clear. What's staff work? What's the board's work? As you heard when the conversations we had about the plantings, I mean, Fran puts an incredible amount of time in these things. We all do. Not like her, but we all do. And I don't think it's a matter of extending the membership of the committee. I think it's a matter of extending the amount of people who work for the district. That's where I'm alluding to. And I know that that may be controversial to some people because more people means more money, more cost for the district. But again, that is the cost of doing business, not having the appropriate staff placed at the appropriate locations, doing the appropriate work could lead to trouble. And it's good that the auditor expressed it very clearly in the way he did, because that's what I've been alluding to. So in the next couple of years, I think that's the conversation that we as a district have to have. To use an example, as you mentioned, Mrs. A, is that what other districts do. I've looked at what Comm does. Comm is a bigger district, obviously, but they have full staff for a variety of things that maybe the smaller districts don't have. But as the auditor said too, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're doing the right thing either. Just because we're small doesn't exculp us from doing the right thing. And that's the crossroads we are right now. We're small, but we're being held to a standard of a big city, as I've mentioned before. And that's a conversation we as a committee are gonna have, and hopefully we're gonna have with the rest of the district. Where do we see ourselves going? Where are we going to be in 20 years, how we're going to address those issues. So thank you very much for the work you do with the audio, but I completely agree with you, and we should be looking into staff and how they can help with that, and if in the meantime I can help you with that, please train me, and I will. That way maybe Frank can give us our audio, and I can upload it. That way maybe it lightens the load. If you...
Adam Zace, 86 Putnam Avenue. Mrs. Zace has been very vocal about getting this off my desk and onto Chris's and Jen's desk. And I am now happy to report that I'm willing to comply.
Excellent, thank you.
So I will start training Chris as soon as possible. And Jen and Silvio, if you want to learn as well, I think the more people that know this process, the better. It's specific to audio, but it can be learned.
Redundancy is key to a good operation.
I'm not trying to be, you know, make a kingdom out of audio. That's not my, you know, it's not my thing.
We will crown you. Don't worry.
Okay. So I'll accept a motion to adjourn. Second. All those in favor?
So moved.
Aye. Second.
Aye.
All those in favor.
Aye. Aye.